Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Speaking of voiding, you know, David, you got to read our text board because we're getting probably dozens or maybe 100 or so texts so far on a show that we can't really take calls on because it's just entirely too unpredictable. But as we talk about your close encounters with celebrities and whether they were tools or not tools, people are texting us, David, about their all-time favorite breaking of wind, the kind of breaking of wind that is just like, it is so memorable. I mean, the average human being passes gas about 7 to 8 times a day. Beautiful women excluded from this, okay? We've established that scientifically. That is, it's not a myth. I know that the Mythbusters say that they've defeated that myth, but it is absolutely true. Beautiful women do not ever, ever fart. We have established that. So these stories that are coming in are just a riot. Now, somebody accused me of crop dusting them in the soup aisle at Wegmans. And I hate to disappoint you. I don't know that I've ever been in the soup aisle in Wegmans, so I have to plead not guilty on that. Well, I mean, I'll own what is mine, but I'm not going to own what isn't.
The soup aisle.
The soup aisle.
It's that specific. We also have just a quick update. The Jussie Smollett saga. It appears that they're going to a grand jury within hours, not days. This is going to happen today. And federal law enforcement are calling the fake letter that was sent to Jussie Smollett an enormous mistake made by the person who sent it, that federal charges are certain and they're going to be terror related, which is obviously a felony. But this case has gone from, you know, a really bad situation for Jussie Smollett to a very, very bad situation, because they're basically saying that these letters that were sent to Jussie Smollett are now connected to the lie about the two Nigerian brothers. And that is going to be a federal terrorism charge.
Whoa.
And this is pretty, pretty nasty.
You know, what a dumb guy.
Oh, really?
I mean, seriously, he's got the world by the nuts. And what does he do? He does this.
Yeah. But again, when we saw those letters, they were written, return address, MAGA.
Who says return that? Address, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
What are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
And just because you write your name sloppy doesn't mean... And by the way, if there's a group of people you don't want to mess with, it's the federal postal inspectors, man. Those guys, they do DNA, they do...
Tear fingernails out.
I'm just telling you, like, anything that's on that letter, the technology that they have, the ability, you don't mess with the postal service, you don't mess with those inspectors, and if you're being a fraud, they're going to...
We've got to find that audio where the actress is on. Was it Jimmy Kimmel or Colbert?
Oh, yeah.
Do we have that audio?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, folks, we're going to get right back to your calls on your close encounters with famous celebrities and whether or not they were tools. Okay, yeah, we do this topic periodically. It's nobody said that you can't go back and play greatest hits of a talk show. But this is a great bit of audio that came out before we learned that... we're going to take some calls right now. Yeah. We're going to get you the audio of this actress who was on one of the late night TV shows, basically going absolutely ballistic over what had allegedly happened to Jussie Smollett. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Here is Bill in Williamsville. You are on WBEN, sir. Hello.
Thank you. Hey, it was out in Las Vegas a number of years back, Red Fox.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, my God. What a gentleman.
Now, for those who don't know, I have to interrupt because we have a lot of younger people listening. Phil, have you ever heard of Red Fox? Okay, Phil, I don't know, because there's things you don't know that amaze me, and there's things you do know that amaze me.
I love Red Fox.
Okay, Red Fox was one of the groundbreaking mainstream well, okay, kind of mainstream black comedians in the United States, okay? Red Fox never got his proper recognition because they were looking for guys like Bill Cosby. They weren't looking for guys like Red Fox. Red Fox had this huge underground comedy following because Red Fox, in his stand-up act, he went places where you would not expect the Red Fox from Sanford and Son to have gone. He was filthy. He was dirty. Oh. He was, I mean, this guy had a routine down that would have put George Carlin or Lenny Bruce to shame, but he was an enormously funny man. And then we saw a more sensitive side of Red Fox in the show Sanford and Son.
Tremendous.
So tell us how you met him and tell us how everything went.
We were living out there with my wife's mom at the time. Tab, this is going back a good 25 years or more, but we had gone into a casino that was quite famous out there. Well, a lot of people that, you know, like Buffalo people would know it well, Samstown, the large casino. And he was going in there. Now, a lot of people would think, like, you know, they'd think he was a playboy and this and that, which, again, he enjoyed the ladies. In fact, the night that we had met him, came in with two large, not large, I should say tall, statuesque blondes, probably 6 inches taller than he was, and he had an arm around each one. And I was actually holding the door for my wife and mother-in-law, and he kind of scooted in front of them, and he let the door actually hit my mother-in-law. And my wife at the time, still my wife at this day, God bless me, but she kind of got on him a little bit, and he was so apologetic. Unbelievable. What a gentleman. And he really apologized profusely that he didn't know. But what a great, great guy.
I am so happy to hear that because I love Red Fox's. I mean, Red Fox was a trailblazing guy, and not just because he was black.
No, not at all. And a little trivia for people that don't, that do know Red Fox, but yeah, Sanford and Son. But big, broke a lot of barriers to the black comedian. And you know, compared to late, he would use a lot of special vernacular, but he was, even though he lived in Las Vegas, and I used to drive by his home quite often because I worked out there, lived out there for a number of years, but he had a white driver for his limousine. Would not have any other color but a white driver. Not that he was racist in any way, it was just what he did. And he used to park his limousine right out front of his home. He had a special place he would park it, just a gentleman. And he was not a big gambler. He certainly was not a drinker, but he would play keno. That was his only game. He would spend upwards of over $100,000 playing keno.
Wow.
Yeah. But just a super, super nice guy.
And as I recall, was avoided relentlessly by the people who give out the comedy Grammys or the comedy awards. Red Fox never got his due. Red Fox is one of those guys that you didn't really appreciate. Most people didn't appreciate him until long after he was gone. And you listen to his stuff now, and it is funny as hell.
Class act, believe me.
Well, I'm happy to hear that about Red Foxer. Thank you for the call.
You too, guys. Thank you.
803-0930, your close encounters with celebrities. Didn't you have an encounter, David, with Christian Amanpour from CNN?
Yeah.
Or Amanpour. I'm sorry. I messed up the name.
Well, we also had the I'm trying to find that Ellen Page stuff.
We go back to the calls.
Yeah.
We're
going to
go back to the calls on WPEN. Should I give the time wrong again?
No. We're good. Is it in the Bowerly folder? Yeah, I'm not seeing it.
We're just trying to get some audio for you, folks, in case you're wondering what's going on behind the scenes. Let's go to Ron in Canada, who actually met Terry Jacks, I'm told.
No, it wasn't me. I worked.
No, I'm kidding. We're not going to sing Seasons in the Sun, I promise.
I worked for 35 years in the film industry teaching actors how to use firearms. One of my first films was Police Academy with Leslie Easterbrook. What a beautiful woman. Well, that's not what I'm calling about. I'm calling about a name that you would know, the Dreyfus Affair and Devil's Island in the 18th century, the last part of the century.
Yes?
So Richard Dreyfus was working that day in the set, so I went up to him, introduced myself, and I said, would you please tell me the story of your ancestor? We spoke for about an hour, hour and a half. And the director finally came up and said, we're making a movie here. We have to go, Mr. Dreyfus. So real gentleman told me the whole story of his ancestor, how the French turned over his daughter to the Nazis in the war, so he had nothing good to say about the French, but a long, long conversation with Richard Dreyfuss, a real gentleman.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, the Dreyfuss affair was driven in France in the 19th century by the hatred of Jews. And basically, this valiant and honored military officer in the French army was convicted of something along the lines of treason or being a spy. And it turns out the real spy was somebody that, you know, they never really expected was going to be the real spy. So Dreyfuss was exculpated, and I believe he eventually was awarded the top honor of the French military and certainly earned a place in history for the Dreyfuss affair. I will confess, I did not remember or ever hear that Dreyfuss was actually, that Richard Dreyfuss, the actor, was related to the Dreyfuss and the Dreyfuss affair. I had no idea. It is 19 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And in my defense, I would just like to again adamantly say that not only did I not crop dust anybody in the soup aisle at Wegmans, I don't even know that I've been in the soup aisle at Wegmans. Had I crop dusted somebody, I would absolutely positively own it. I mean, I could tell you stories, but someday we're going to have to do – someday we'll have to do a podcast on that particular topic because I think it would be a riot because everybody's got a most memorable breaking of wind that brought tears to people's eyes and tears of laughter to your own because, obviously, your own brand is always just dandy. Your close encounters with celebrities and whether or not they were tools. Now, David, speaking of celebrities, we were talking about the Jussie Smollett situation and the seriousness of the charges he may very well face having to do with the powdered letters he may have been involved in sending himself.
Well, if you remember, Stephen Colbert had Ellen Page on the day after this story broke. She's an actress, famous for the movie Juno, if you ever watched that. Excellent film. She was a very talented actress. She's a gay woman married to a woman. And, you know, she found a way to make this Jussie Smollett fake hoax about herself and about Vice President Mike Pence and Donald Trump.
Yeah, you have to be fired
up. It feels impossible to not feel this way right now with the president and the Vice President Mike Pence, who, like, wishes I couldn't be married. Let's just be clear. The Vice President of America wishes I didn't have the love with my wife. He wanted to ban that in Indiana. He believes in conversion therapy. He has hurt LGBTQ people so badly as the government of Indiana. And I think the thing we need to know, and I hope my show Gaycation did this, in terms of connecting the dots, in terms of what happened the other day to Jussie, I don't know him personally. I sent all of my love. Connect the dots. This is what happens. If you are in a position of power and you hate people, and you want to cause suffering to them, you go through the trouble. You spend your career trying to cause suffering. What do you think is going to happen? Kids are going to be abused, and they're going to kill themselves. And people are going to be beaten on the street. I have traveled the world, and I have met the most marginalized people you can meet. I am lucky to have this time and the privilege to say this. This needs to stop.
Well, certainly interesting timing because in 30 seconds we have an update from ABC News. It turns out Mike Pence actually sent those letters to Jussie Smollett. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. He didn't, David.
No, he did not. Listen, we knew this was a matter of time. There was an opportunity where Jussie Smollett could have sat down with Chicago police and delayed what really was the inevitable. But this, they're no longer waiting on an opportunity to sit down with Jussie Smollett. This letter seems to connect everything. Here's ABC News.
It's a special report from ABC News. I'm Aaron Katursky. Empire actor Jussie Smollett is now classified as a suspect in a criminal investigation by Chicago police for filing a false police report. Smollett had said he was walking to his apartment about 2 in the morning January 29th when two men verbally and physically assaulted him and wrapped a noose around his neck. In the weeks since, Chicago police have said the trajectory of the case has changed. And now Chicago police say that Empire actor Jussie Smollett is classified as a suspect in the filing of a false police report. Evidence is right now being presented before a grand jury. I'm Aaron Katursky. This has been a special report from ABC News.
That's about the worst case scenario, because this, again, not only a 1 to 3 year felony E in the state of Illinois, he's looking at federal charges because, again, this letter that he sent had a white powdery substance and it was sent from a Chicago suburb. And, you know, you can extrapolate what these federal charges are going to be. They're going to be terror related. I mean, if you send a fake pipe bomb, it doesn't matter if it's real or it's fake. You're in trouble. We saw this with the, you know, the Make America Great Again guy, the guy who allegedly supported Donald Trump and was sending pipe bombs everywhere. Doesn't matter if they're going to blow up or not. You're going to go to jail. This is about the worst case for Jussie Smollett.
That actress should be forced to give a retraction of what she said about Donald Trump and Michael Pence.
Well, the interesting part here is that the cast of Empire is still standing behind him. He still has the support of Brian Grazer and Ron Howard.
They want to stand behind a guy who could potentially be a felon. That's their business, but I'm just saying.
It's pretty bad. Pretty bad development.
Yeah, baby. It is Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN, your close encounters with famous people and whether or not they were dorks. Here is Bob in North Tonawanda. Bob, you're on WBEN.
Yes, back in 1972, during the summer. In any case, my sister lived on San Bernardino, and so I flew off to see her. And she didn't tell me who it was, but she said that evening they would be going over her neighbor's place. Well, it turns out we get over there and the person still hadn't arrived yet, and in walks Buzz Aldrin. And it's like, wow, this is really cool. And the guy was, I found him to be very, very intelligent. One of those people that when he hung on your every word when you're talking to him. So, yeah, I found him very interesting.
You know, I saw him at the State of the Union address on television, and, you know, he's an older guy, but he just looks like a firecracker.
Well, I tell you what I was impressed with is that when he came in, he looked like he just walked off of the military. Let's just say the officers come. The man was impeccably dressed.
Oh yeah,
he had hair like my son, cut like my son's hair when he was in the Marines for 15 years, and I really liked the guy. But later on in life, I began to see kind of little snippets of him where he was less than. You know, gentlemanly, put it that way.
When people were told that he didn't really go to the moon, that he was actually in Hollywood?
He threw a few punches at a few guys, but, you know, he's a fired-up guy. There's been some allegations. Well, I mean, some people have said he's going through a little bit of dementia, you know, but for the most part, you know, it's good to hear positive things. He's still, you know, fiery. He doesn't like to be told he's a fraud, and he'll...
Oh, no, I agree.
He'll punch you, you know?
Absolutely.
Buzz Aldrin will hurt you.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. One of the things I came away with at the time is that he did not like these anti-Vietnam demonstrations. He thought these people were cowardly. He disdained them very much so.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Happy to hear that you had a good experience with Mr. Aldrin.
Yes.
Let's go to Len in Williamsville on WBEN. Leonard, hello.
I'm doing well, thank you, and you guys are great. I listen to you every night.
You're very kind. Thank you so much.
And thank you for taking my call. I had to go to California, and I went to visit our largest account, and he said to me, he said, "Where would you like to go to dinner?" And I said, "Well," I said, "this is your town. I've never been here in Los Angeles or Beverly Hills." He said, "Let's go to Chasen's." I said, "Chasen's? Well, I only heard that by reputation." Well, you go into Chasen's, and there's paparazzi out there. Now, this is not digital paparazzi. This is paparazzis with flash bulbs. We go in there, and my account's wife says, "There's somebody important in here." Well, I didn't know this, but Chasen's had booths that closed. In other words, the waiter could go into the booth, open it, pass the food, close the doors, and never know who was behind there.
That's how I'm treated at Russell's, actually. Go ahead.
So... anyways, she was so anxious to find out who was there. She goes into the ladies' room, tips the valet $30. She comes back out and says, "President Nixon's in there." Well, in the meantime, we're ordering and we're getting our dinner. And there's these two drunks walking up and down, up and down. I said, what kind of a place is this? This is supposed to be classy. Well, finally, the doors open, or the booth opens. Who's there is President Nixon. Those two guys that were drunks stood right by them like statues. Those were, to protect the...
Secret Service.
Secret Service, thank you. Went up to him, and he stood up. He didn't sit. He shook my hand. I gave him a pen. I said, Mr. President, I said, I'm a neighbor of yours. My office is in Saddlebrook, New Jersey, and I know you live in Saddle River. I said, keep my pen. He shook my hand, and he stood up to shake my hand. And the one thing I remember about him, you know when he had his hunched up shoulders all the time? He was no taller than me. And his hands were so soft, I couldn't believe how soft and puffy his hand was. And he was just the nicest guy I had met for as being a person who was ex-president and just a nice man.
How long did you have a chance to talk to President Nixon?
We talked for about 10 minutes or so.
How do you like that?
Yeah, I mean, he, honest to God, I'll tell you, you know, you hear all this nonsense all the time, but he was really a nice man. And his hands, like I said, that's what I'm going to remember about. I always remember about him. And that's with his hunched shoulders and his hands and the fact that he stood up for both of us, the two guys and Eileen, the wife, who found all this out. But the thing that got me was the Secret Service guys. As soon as they opened up that booth, those guys are standing right there like statues. So that's
wow.
What I thought about.
All right, what a great story. We got to go because your phone keeps beeping.
Yeah,
so,
I'm going, guys.
Yep, thanks very much. It is 5:40. Why does that happen? If you're in the phone industry, you got to tell me, is that something electronic or does that mean somebody's cheek is hitting the phone?
That's a cheek hitting the phone.
Are we sure?
You're positive.
All right. Don't bother sending the email then. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. David, I'm sure you're going to remember this. The story about in Richard Nixon's very darkest days, he couldn't sleep one night, so he had the Secret Service drive him over to the Washington, Lincoln Memorial. And there were a whole bunch of student... Excuse me. Student protesters, and he got into a long conversation with them.
You know, they did that in the Oliver Stone movie, and, you know, it's hard to tell, you know, all these stories of presidents leaving the wire and hanging out and talking to normal folk. I could tell you that'll never happen again. There's no way you're going to have a president of the United States that's ever going to, like, go off the reservation and see what's going on with the locals. But at any rate, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Bob in North Tonawanda. Bob, your celebrity brush-in is what?
Yeah, David, Tom. Yeah, I've met two famous people in my life, Close Encounters. First one would be Rita Coolidge.
Hey, she was huge.
Oh, yeah, she will. I met her after a Mad Dogs and Englishmen concert in Buffalo at one of the downtown bars. And I got real close to her, right next to her, as a matter of fact. I ordered myself an Iroquois beer, and I knew who she was. Most of the people that were there didn't realize who she was. She wasn't quite all that famous at the time, but having an Eric Clapton album with her on as a background singer, I recognized her, and she was performing with the Mad Dogs and Englishmen at the time. And I kind of bumped into her just a little bit. And she looked over at me, and I said, Miss Coolidge, I said, I'm a big fan of yours. And she just smiled, and she goes, you can call me Rita. And first of all, she's gorgeous, and she's very sweet. And I just told her, well, you really put on a great show. I really love the show, and you're terrific and everything. And then I got a little bit flustered, and I kind of walked away. And but she was about as nice as anyone could be. She was just a beautiful lady inside and out.
Wow, very happy to hear that.
Good story.
And the second person I met was Tiny Tim.
I heard he was a weirdo.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, that was not an act. What you see is what you got. The guy, I saw him at the Washington, D.C. airport. I was in the Marines at the time. I had my uniform on. I turned around. 5 feet away from me stands Tiny Tim. He's wearing a sport coat that's probably one or two sizes too small. He has a plastic Hawaiian shopping bag with his ukulele in it. And I said, Tiny, how are you? You know, and he shakes my hand, and he was very, very nice. Very nice guy. And he asked me, are you in the Army? And I said, no, I'm in the Marines. And, you know, he was asking a few questions, you know, how do I like the Marines and everything. I said, oh, it's good. It's good for now, you know, and everything. So all I can say is Tiny Tim was a very nice guy. He was he's a weirdo, no doubt. But he was very nice, and you know, he was. And what you see is what you got. He was real. He wasn't.
Guy got married live on TV, and
it was like the highest rated TV show at that point in TV history, I think.
Yeah, it was a really big deal.
And didn't Tiny Tim have a connection to? I want to say Jamestown. Is there not a Tiny Tim connection to Western New York? Right back to the calls we go. And by the way, the breaking news, Jussie Smollett now officially a suspect in the fake hate crime report out of Chicago a few weeks back. Here's Bob on a cell phone on WBEN. Bob, you're on. Hello.
Hey, guys. About 10 years ago, a colleague of mine and I were at a conference in New York City, and Friday night we went out to dinner with one of our attorneys from Boston and his wife. We're in a little Italian restaurant, and the attorney's wife excused herself to go to the ladies' room. And when she came back, she sat down and she goes, guys, you see those two ladies sitting at that table over in the corner? We looked over there. There was two ladies there. And she goes, one of them is Tina Louise, who played Ginger the movie star on Gilligan's Island.
No.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to break the streak of nice celebrities by the end of this story. But... So my colleague got all excited because his kids watched Gilligan's Island's reruns, and so they would have known Ginger. So he starts getting up, and Miriam says, where are you going, Dave? And he goes, oh, I'm going to go over and get her autograph. And she goes, no, you better not. And he goes, why not? She goes, well, when I went in the ladies' room, she was in there, and she had all her cosmetics and makeup spread all over the counter in the ladies' room. And this lady walked in with her little girl and recognized who she was. And she told her little girl, oh, honey, look, see who this is? This is Ginger from Gilligan's Island. And Tina Louise looked at the mother and scooped up her cosmetics and said, you know, if you and your daughter get out of my way, I could leave this restroom.
Oh!
So I guess I'd have to categorize her as a tool. She kind of forgot who put her where she was. And I thought,
not the first time I've heard that about her, by the way.
Well, to be fair, I've said that quite a few times trying to make my way to a restroom.
Here, let me tell you, she was pretty rough looking.
Well, that's not fair. I mean, she's... How old was she at the time?
Oh,
how many years after the glory days of Gilligan's Island was this?
This was about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, so she'd been off the air.
She'd have been 70 or 75 years old then. Yeah, she is 85 right now.
Yeah, not exactly prime age.
Can't believe Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island is my mom's age.
But, you know, it's so unfair. You have one bad day, and if a million people know who you are...
Frank Borman's son, so I met him at the graduation ceremony.
Whose son?
Frank Borman, the astronaut.
Oh, wow.
Not Martin Borman.
No, Frank Borman.
That's pretty cool. Astronauts, I think, are like a deserving celebrity, because when the Apollo program was, you know, Mercury astronauts and Apollo, these guys, there was a 72% chance that they would blow up at any moment. Those guys were amongst the highest echelon of American heroes.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But
all right, sir, great story. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call.
All righty. Have a good one.
Will do. Will do. Well, David, certainly interesting hearing about people's close encounters with celebrities. Anything new breaking on the Jussie Smollett front in the past 25 minutes?
No, just more of the same. We're waiting to hear what these charges are, and I'm sure you'll hear more about it all over the news. This is a huge story.
Hey, do we know how long it's going to take the feds to complete their investigation into those letters with white powder?
Everything's done.
So the investigation is all done now. The question, I presume that information is going to go to the...
It's already at the grand jury right now. They've got fed and local state and federal charges are what the grand jury is hearing right now.
In a nutshell, he could be screwed of his own doing.
Yeah, and honestly, well-deserving. There's also a report of a lieutenant in the Coast Guard that's just been taken into custody. Had a list of people that he wanted to take out. Most of them appear to be Democratic politicians and news celebrities, journalists, and he is in custody on multiple counts of domestic terrorism and threats. About 10 weapons were seized, and he had plans to hurt a lot of people. So we'll give you more updates on that as it unfolds. That's breaking news.
Wow. 5:56, Bowerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.